Frames that are made for men of steel and women of vision. If you can't take it, it's going to be kind of rough. But we're forming a whole new society without destroying an old one. We're going to build on that which is durable and usable, and we're going to have the courage to cast off that which is no longer usable. We, in a sense, are going through a great societal reform or reformation. It's like a renaissance. And through any period of great change, even violent change, there is all kinds of trouble and tribulation. There always has been. Take a look back through the periods of history, the Industrial Revolution, the Renaissance, the Reformation. What makes you think that it should be so sweet and kindly now? What makes you think it ought to be easy? These are the best of times. For the first time, we have an awareness in this country of the meaning of poverty. Not just the poverty of the purse, that's easy to cure. You can give people relief. But the poverty of despair, of hopelessness, the tragedy of not being wanted, of being cut out, the poverty of failure. At long last, there's a whole generation of people growing up in this country that say that they're beginning to be aware that there is something about the ghetto. Listen, when I was a young man, nobody used the word ghetto for America. We used ghetto for Poland, for the Jew in the ghetto, in Russia, Poland, Eastern Europe. Now we speak of the ghetto, because it is a ghetto. It's sealed off. People unwanted, cut out. People that are different, put aside. And young Americans, and some of the older ones, because youth is a matter of attitude, not age. I've met some kids at 18 that are ready for Social Security and Medicare, I'll tell you. There is an awareness today, an awareness about poverty. And when there's an awareness, there is at least the preparations to do something about it. There's an awareness about race. And believe me, people today understand that this cannot be two societies, separate and unequal, and have one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You either got to cancel out one or the other. Because if there's anything you ought to remember, it's woe unto ye hypocrites. And we got to make up our mind that we're not going to let this be two societies, separate and unequal. We need each other in this country. And what's more important is a new awareness that the best talent of America is yet to be discovered. I shan't lecture you long on it, but the greatest artists of America today are not the sons and daughters of the richest families in suburbia. Some of the great athletes, the artists, the doctors, the scientists, the literary genius of America is coming out of the bowels of the earth. The bowels of the ghetto and out of Appalachia and rural poverty. Because out of the agony and the misery that these people have had to suffer and endure, there seems to be a greatness that springs forth. I don't know why, I've never been able to understand it, but it's there. There's something else. There's an awareness of the need, not only of education, but of different kinds of education. We're even beginning to find out that we may have diploma-itis in this country. That we're maybe more interested in certificates than we are in learning. There's going to be a lot of changes in education. Get ready for them. And what's been happening on the campus, while it's discouraging and distressing, actually it is just literally revitalizing campus life. Education will be immeasurably better 10 years from now than it is today. Make no mistake about it. The college and the university faculty and president that survives this crisis will be people of tremendous ability. And the students today are beginning to have something to say about their lives. And they ought to have them. They ought not to be treated as if they're under custodial care when they're at a university. Things are beginning to happen. And there's an awareness in the country of the need of better health care in this nation, just to get a mundane subject. It isn't good enough what we're doing. And I don't know what it's going to develop. I am not a doctrinaire man. I just know this, that the medical profession, the hospitals, the insurance companies, and the consumers of health all know today that we've got to do better. We've got to do better. And we're going to do better. There's an awareness about our environment. Can you imagine anybody standing here 10 years ago and talking to you about the environment? You'd run him out. You'd say, that fellow is, you know, he's off his rocker. Yet there is an awareness in every part of this land and throughout this globe about awareness, about environment. Air, water, waste disposal, you and I know it. Population pollution, and peace are all tied together. We're going to have to do something about these things. And there are many things that are happening. We're going to change it. I know we are. And for those that stand in the way, they're just going to be rolled over. Because this society is not dead, it's restless. It isn't sick. It's reaching out. It's trying to find better answers. And I'm just delighted I have a chance to have good health and vitality at this time and period of human history, to be a part of it. This is one of the reasons I want to go back to Congress, because I think when we go back, we're going to reshape America's role in the world, in foreign policy. We're going to have to cast aside our total reliance upon force and power and money. We're going to have to do other things in terms of diplomacy and understanding, building international institutions. We're going to have the willingness to break from the past. And in the business world, there's a new awareness. Businessmen now know that it isn't good enough just to have a good dividend and a good accounting sheet. Business today, if American capitalism is to survive, it will have to have a social consciousness. Not only about its workers, who can negotiate it over the bargaining table, but about the consumers. And American business will have to quit putting out fake products. Automobiles with bumpers that collapse. Combustion engines that destroy human life. When the automobile industry tells me that they can't produce an engine by 1975 that doesn't spew out poisonous gases, then I say to them, put your scientists to work and produce one, because you've got a big investment and there'll be a law against you. The purpose of public policy is to protect the people. The automobile industry has no right to pollute, to poison us in the name of transportation. Corporate industry has no right to spew out toxic acids and gases in the name of profits and production. It's all done, folks, all done. And if men like myself are unable to do anything about it, then our sons will come along and do something about it. Because they're not going to live in a world that is polluted by violence and war and gases and toxic acids. They're just not going to do it. We have educated a society. And that education has made that society restless and perceptive and aware. If you want people to live in misery, keep them ignorant. But once you give them the key to enlightenment called education, they begin to ask serious questions. They begin to doubt things as they are. They begin to look over the mountain and get out of the valley. They begin to stand on the high hills and see what's on the other side. This is why it's fun to be in public life. And may I say that public life plus teaching, with only a small amount of it, I say, is the best of all. Now I've had my teaching, I go back to public life. Thank you very much.